Genesis chapter 2, and we read here where we left off last week, and some of this echoes a bit of what we were talking about Sunday morning, picking it up in verse 20, halfway through. But for Adam, page 4 if you're using the Pew Bibles, no suitable helper was found, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord God made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones, flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, for she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man will leave his father and mother and be united to his wife, and they will become one flesh." The man and his wife were both naked, and they felt no shame. Now, we talked about this somewhat last week, as we see that marriage was instituted by God before human beings fell into sin. And so marriage is not some kind of corrective thing. It's part of God's plan from the beginning, before the fall, when human beings were innocent. And but what we want to look at tonight a little bit are the implications of the fall in terms of marriage. We thought about the fall this past Lord's Day morning as we think about the Lord Jesus as the second Adam. But we want to look at it a little differently today. I want you to focus on the pre-fall nature of a relationship between a man and a woman. Unfallen human beings. Verse 25, the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. When we read this, we immediately think of it in literal terms, and we should. They were literally naked, and they literally felt no shame. But I want you to explore with me tonight the consequences of the fall in terms of verse 25 as we go through Genesis 3 and skipping down in verse 6 of chapter 3. And it says there, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. What we see here is a literal event, as I point out Sunday morning. This actually happened. This really did happen in history. There really was one human being. That's when human life began. Human life has only begun one time. God took dirt. He breathed into it the breath of life. And that became a human being. It became Adam. And then, without creating new life, God took the life of Adam, took the rib from Adam, formed Eve from the man. And so we have the human family beginning with one man, one woman, God having breathed the breath of life in them, and as I pointed out last Wednesday and also Sunday morning, you continue the life that God put in Adam in the Garden of Eden. When does human life begin? I pointed out last Wednesday and again last Sunday. Human life does not begin in the womb at conception. Human life began in the Garden of Eden, and it's continued on from the Garden of Eden down to now. God doesn't recreate or create afresh life every time a baby is conceived. The baby continues the life. You continue the life that God first breathed into Adam, and that's come down. But what we find is that we have the beginning of shame in verse 7. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So this is the beginning of human shame. This is real history. It really happened. Adam and Eve literally violated the agreement that God made with them, where He told them they could eat from all of the fruit of all of the trees of the garden, except one. And He warned them the day they ate that fruit, they would die. And God is not a liar. So we have to ask ourselves the question, what is the meaning of death? Is death, as many people think, ceasing to exist? Well, that's certainly not a biblical idea. Death, if we can think about it, more in terms of separation. Separation. What happens at death? Well, at death, your body is separated from your soul. If you're a believer, your soul goes to be with Jesus. Your body goes to the ground. is taken from the ground and returns to the ground. Soul goes to be with Jesus. What happens in the case of Adam and Eve is what? They experience death. They don't cease to exist. Adam's heart doesn't stop beating the day that he eats that fruit. What do we see here? We see the evidence of this death in what I will call shame. Shame. Shame is the first manifestation of death. And shame is there because there has come this separation. Adam is now separated from Eve. Eve is now separated from Adam. But we see something else. Verse 8, the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" He answered, "I heard you in the garden. I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" So we find here another form of this death. If you understand death as separation, soul separated from the body in physical death, Adam and Eve experienced death in their marriage. You ever thought about a marriage being dead? Well, marriages die all the time. Here's a marriage that died. This marriage was incredibly alive, but now this marriage is dead. This marriage is dead because shame has come into this marriage. But now we see there's also a separation between Adam and Eve and someone else. And who is that? God. There's separation between them and God. They are now ashamed in the presence of God. Shame is a powerful force, isn't it? They are now ashamed in the presence of God. They feel exposed because they are. They feel vulnerable because they are. But it's interesting that in verse 25 of chapter 2, the man and his wife were both naked and they felt no shame. They're vulnerable, they're naked, they're defenseless, but they're not afraid and they feel no shame because death has not entered in. But because death has come in, they now know that they're vulnerable. They now know that they're naked. They now know that they're in difficulty. So there's a separation between Adam and Eve and God, Adam and Eve with each other. There's the seed. There are the seeds of physical death that have begun to be sowed. I guarantee you, for the first time, they began to experience pain. Now, I don't know how long Adam and Eve were around before they violated the covenant with God. You know, when we read the story in Genesis, we just have a short version of it. Well, they could have been around for hundreds of years. We don't know. There's no point in speculating. But we should not assume that they were around for a short time. After all, if we read back in Genesis chapter 10, Genesis chapter 2 and verse 20, how Adam named all of the animals, he surveyed the entire animal kingdom. He had to be around for a good time to do that. So, they're around for a long time. Now, I submit, they began to notice things. Very shortly after this, as they're sowing together fig leaves, they begin to experience pain. They pull these leaves, they start doing these things, and, well, what's this? Well, it's a raw spot, it's a blister. So, anyway, it sounds like they... Will, can you tell them we've got about 15 more minutes here? So they begin to experience pain. They lie down, and when they get up in the morning, what happens? Well, I'm stiff. That damp ground got my joints. So they experience death. But the thing I want us to see here is the cover-up. And this cover-up takes place with Adam and Eve, first without reference to God. Adam and Eve sew fig leaves together to cover their nakedness from whom? From each other. Now, I want you to think about it for a moment. I said this is literal. It is literal. This actually happened in real history. But I want you to understand that there's more to it than mere physical nakedness and mere physically covering up the nakedness. They're experiencing shame. And this is what I want to say. There is no human being, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has walked our planet since then, who has not experienced shame and attempted to resolve that shame by means of covering up. And I'm not simply speaking here of physical clothing, which we wear, which we should wear. But I'm speaking here of what? Wearing a mask. Now, we're going to see, why is there trouble in marriage? The reason there's trouble in marriage is there's shame. And there's cover-up. Now, let's look at an example of the spiritual or psychological dimension of the nakedness and the cover-up psychologically. Let's read down further in verse 12. Verse 12 is a clear manifestation of the psychological aspect of fig leaves. The psychological aspect of fig leaves. We have the physical aspect of the fig leaves. The man and his wife are naked. They sew fig leaves so they do not expose their physical bodies to each other. Because now they feel shame. They experience a sense of embarrassment. But I want you to see in verse 12, there's more to this than simply the physical. There's the psychological. Do you see with me in verse 12 an example of a fig leaf? Is there a fig leaf in verse 12? What do we read here? The man said, "The woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it." Is that a fig leaf? Isn't he covering up? How's he covering up? He's grabbing his wife's fig leaves to cover himself, if you will. He's laying the blame on her. He's blame shifting. Oh, absolutely. And every time we blame someone else, we always are pointing our finger at God as well. He's a blame shifter. This blame shifting is a form of fig leafing, if you will. It's a way of saying, wait a minute here. Yeah, I did it, but you gave me that woman, and she's the reason I did it. So this is excuse making. So you see there. Now look further, and the woman, now she's caught, and so she says, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." And the poor serpent, who was truly a demonic victim, given the gift of speech by the devil, now has lost the gift of speech, and so the serpent doesn't open his mouth anymore. What I want you to see is that there is no perfect marriage, and everyone is mentally ill. There's no perfect marriage, and everyone is mentally ill. Now, the amazing thing is, when you get married, before you get married, you see the fig leaves that the other person is wearing. And you become impressed that this person has it all together. This is your knight in shining armor. Or this is your whatever. Some enchanted evening you may see a stranger, you may hear her call you across a crowded room, and somehow you know even then that all through your life. Anyhow, and what happens? We refer to it as the honeymoon being over. What's the honeymoon being over? The honeymoon being over is when the fig leaves start coming apart and you realize the person that you married. And you realize that this person is mentally ill. And I know you think I'm saying this tongue-in-cheek, but I see mental health and mental illness as a scale, as a continuum. And I'm going to tell you what you've got in Genesis 3 are some people, two mentally ill people, who are making excuses for their bad behavior. They're shifting blame. Now, we have God's solution here, which we do want to share God's solution before we go any further, because this will be a short lesson tonight. God's solution is what? Give me your fig leaves. Give me your fig leaves. And what does God do for them in the end of Genesis 3? He what? He covers them with animal skins. And I think it's very important. In verse 21, the Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. And I think it's important to point out, in order for Adam and Eve's nakedness and shame really to be covered, what had to happen? Blood had to be shed. Blood had to be shed. A life had to be given. The life of an animal is given. The blood of that animal is shed so that Adam and Eve's nakedness can be covered by God. Now, just a couple of thoughts. As again, we're just exploring the beginning of this study on marriage and just doing a brief introduction again tonight. How do you experience a better marriage? There are no perfect marriages. Because you are married to someone who has a character defect. So what happens? Well, the key is to do the opposite of what Adam and Eve do. What do? They're not honest with themselves, and they're not honest with God. And the key is what? It's repentance. And it's openness. And it's a returning to a kind of nakedness, if you will, of where you face yourself as you are, and you say, no, I am responsible. I'm responsible. Adam has to do what, in effect? Adam has to say, you know, I alone am responsible for my actions. And I accept my responsibility. I accept, therefore, my guilt. And I accept the fact that I am receiving the just consequences of my bad behavior. People say, oh, well, it takes two to tango. You know, Eve did have part of this. But here's the deal. As long as I'm looking at Eve and letting her share my responsibility and share my guilt, I'll never take responsibility for it. I have to come to grips with the fact that I have done what I chose to do. I am responsible. I am accountable. In other words, I've got to get rid of my fig leaves, my cover-up, my blame-shifting, and be honest with myself. There's the key. In order to be honest with God. And then I can receive from God cleansing from my sin and true covering. So, are human beings mentally ill? Absolutely. I am not joking. As God is my witness, having been preaching for over 40 years and having been the pastor of this church in another month, 32 years, I can only come to one conclusion after dealing with you. You're all mentally ill. But you're, by and large, nicely mentally ill. You're only mildly neurotic. I've only known a few psychotics. And you're just like me. Mental illness is being out of touch with reality. And no one is completely in touch with reality, especially when it comes to his conduct. Don't you find, even though this story really happened just the way it's written, that it is also a picture of every man and every woman and every marriage? Isn't this what happens? I mean, isn't your first reaction, are you different from me? So let me talk about me. What is my first reaction when I'm caught in something that I shouldn't say or do or think? That's my first reaction. Exactly. You know, what's wrong? You know, I used to have bruised shins here under the table. Why aren't you kicking me anymore, keeping me straight, you know? No, it's that, isn't it? I mean, it's always I can find an excuse. If I can't blame another person, I can at least minimize my guilt by sharing it with others. Well, there's some things we should share and some things we shouldn't share, and guilt is not something you should share with other people. And I'm going to tell you this. You will never be set free from a problem, marriage-wise or otherwise, till you take full and total responsibility for yourself. If you're sitting here tonight and saying, you know, Lord, I know that I could have a really godly life and really live a victorious life. And I know I could have a wonderful family, and I could be a great dad, or I could be a great mom, if only I weren't married to. Well, the moment that you think that, you know what you got? You got figlivitis. Figlivitis. Figlivitis is a thing that just gets into a marriage, and it's like poison ivy. It just messes it up. Figlivitis. The minute that you think, you know, Lord, I could be a really godly Christian if it weren't for... Well, the point I want to make is this. I can't promise you that God will change your spouse. I can't promise you that God will change your circumstances. But I can promise you this. If you will come before God in the mirror of His Word by His Holy Spirit and look at your fig leaves and say, Lord, I've made a mess of things and my attempts to fix it have only made it worse. I need you to do for me what you did for Adam and Eve, and that is, Lord, and they had to take their fig leaves off. You don't wear fig leaves underneath skins. I mean, can you imagine that? That'd get pretty itchy and scratchy. You've got to get rid of the cover-up. And then you've got to let God cover you. See, covering by God is not covering up. Because Jesus died to remove our sins. Expiation. He took our sins away. He expiated our sins. He removed them. He also is a propitiation. Took away the wrath of God for our sins. But as long as we're covering up, as long as we're blame shifting, as long as we're finger pointing, as long as we're not taking responsibility solely, may I say it? Solely for ourselves. If I'm not a happy person, it's not my wife's fault. It's not my kids' fault. It's not my husband's fault. It's not my parents' fault. It's not my boss's fault. If I'm not a happy person, it's because I am not choosing to appropriate the promises of God. I want to say to you, there is nothing in your life tonight, no matter what it is, no matter who it is, that prevents you from experiencing all that God promises you in Scripture tonight. By faith, you receive that. But the reason you have trouble, the reason I have trouble, by faith, receiving those promises, is because those stinking, and they do get to stink after a while, fig leaves. Even fig leaves can stink. And when you put them on the pile, make a nice mulch, I mean, they don't stay fresh and green after they've been trimmed off the vine and made clothes out of. So they begin to stink and rot. It's those stinking fig leaves. And they block me from believing the promises of God. So, just a little short introduction again to the nature of marriage in these early days of Genesis 2 and 3. God created marriage, this beautiful union with no shame. There's never been a married couple, and we're not talking here now simply of physical nakedness. There's never been a married couple that hasn't experienced shame in marriage that results in fig leaf making, covering up. So again, the key is what? Why not pray what the psalmist says to pray? Psalm 139, a psalm about God's absolute omniscience. He knows everything. And the psalmist, appropriating God's omniscience as a promise to him, says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked, destructive, hindering way in me." Hindering ways are fig leaf ways. You know, the trouble is, I get so used to wearing those fig leaves, I forget I'm wearing them. So I need to ask the Lord, through His Word and through His Spirit, show me my fig leaves so that I can be shorn of them and be cleansed by a blood that's more effectual than the blood of the animal that God killed in the Garden of Eden to clothe Adam and Eve. Why don't we pray? Lord, as we think about the perfection of marriage in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve enjoyed full communion with each other, full communion with You, full communion with the world around them, and Lord, the very moment when they ate of the fruit that You told them not to eat, believing Satan's half-truth lie, Lord, their eyes were opened and they, for the very first time, knew shame, knew separation from each other, separation from You. And Lord, that shame drove them to do a cover-up. Lord, would You search me? Would You take Your word by Your Spirit and search my heart? Would You show me the fig leaves that I have woven together to cover up rather than coming clean? Pride, blame shifting, fault finding. Lord, despairing. Lord, and as Fran pointed out, the accusation is not just against Eve, but against You. Lord, finding fault with You because my circumstances are such that I believe I have an excuse not to live a victorious life, that I believe I have an excuse not to be happy and content, that I believe I have an excuse to live selfishly. Lord, would You show me my fig leaves? And would You give me the grace by Your Spirit to take those fig leaves off and to be covered by the blood of Jesus? Lord, we thank You for the promise of the Word of God that if we confess our sins, You are faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Lord, cover us, our shame and our nakedness, with Your grace in Jesus Christ. Amen.